It's fun to listen to them leave. Not that we want them. That's, I won't even try and dig my way out of that one. It's fun to hear the kids as they go and have fun and take part in that. For our scripture reading this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 17. It says in verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people, even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you that you fulfill your promises, and we see that here with Abraham. And thank you for the faith that we can look at, an example of his faith as he just believed and almost makes it look really simple. Just challenge us with that this morning, we pray. Be with Pastor Craig as he teaches what you have laid upon his heart. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thanks, Dave. Continuing on here in Hebrews. James chapter 1, don't turn there, stay in Hebrews. But James chapter 1 tells us that the testing of our faith produces patience. And patience, in turn, causes us to grow and mature spiritually. Well, in our passage here in Hebrews today, we find Abraham, in fact, it specifically tells us that his faith was tested. And because of his trust in God and his trust in God's promises, he not only passed the test, it not only caused him to mature in his faith, but his faith actually impacted generations to come. The author's purpose in giving us this list here, this list of faithful people, is really to exemplify to us what real faith in God looks like, kind of how it lives out in life, so that we might follow in their footsteps. Abraham's faith encouraged a legacy of faith. But by implication, there's something that we need to be aware of, all right? While the testing of our faith is designed to cause us to grow, we need to know that how we respond, okay, whether good or bad, can leave a legacy. Whether good or bad, we can impact those who are watching us. I recently read about a seven-year-old boy, 7 years old, who was tortured so that he would renounce his Christian faith. He was then killed because he would not. Seven-year-old boy. It was about 1 year ago now. Seven-year-old Anmol was his name. From an island country in Asia, he went off to Sunday school and never returned. His parents put out a missing persons report the very next day, and shortly thereafter, his little body was found dead floating in a nearby pond. Upon doing an autopsy, it was discovered that before he died, his toes, all of them, had been systematically broken. His hands had been slashed and burned. His face and stomach had burn marks all over them, and his neck had been cut. But what finally killed him was drowning. What would cause a seven-year-old little boy like this to go through what he went through without renouncing his faith in Christ? Well, his parents had trusted Christ several years earlier. And they too had been the objects of much persecution by local Muslims. Yet they would not, the parents would not renounce their faith no matter what was done to them. Regardless of the trials that were set before them, the parents continued to trust God. And 7-year-old Anmol saw it. And it impacted him to the degree that he had that kind of faith too. His faith was actually strengthened by his parents' faith. Our faith in God will be tested. It will be tested. And we need to know that how we respond can impact generations to come. And so this morning, we're going to look at two ways that we can leave a faithful legacy. And we're going to see that exemplified, obviously, in Abraham this morning. But this is Faith Exemplified Part 3, and I've subtitled it, Leaving a Faithful Legacy, looking at Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. And from our passage, the first way to exemplify our faith in God, the first way to leave a faithful legacy is by accepting what seems illogical. Accepting what seems illogical. Now, this does not mean that we are to accept everything that seems illogical to us. That would not be wise. That would be foolishness. And it certainly does not mean accepting things that are clearly contrary to God's word and God's nature. Okay? God will never expect us to do something or even accept something that is clearly contrary to his own nature. There are a lot of illogical things in the world that are indeed foolishness and even wickedness because they are not from God. Perhaps you remember the story from about 10 years ago now of the woman who believed that God told her to kill her 3 children, 3 small children. She believed that God told her that the end of the world was coming to get her house in order, and apparently that meant putting her own 3 children to death. But to what end? To what end? How could something like that be from God? God will never expect us to do something or even accept something that is clearly contrary to his own nature. Now, with that, there is a question that popped into my mind, and perhaps it has popped into your mind at this point in time right now as well, and I'm going to address that in a few minutes. You'll kind of, even if it hasn't popped into your mind, it will when I bring it up, okay? So hold tight for a minute. But know that God will never ask us to do something that is contrary to him. But there will be times in our lives, okay? There will be times in our lives where God will ask us, allow us, or even require us to do something or go through something that just seems illogical. We don't get it. We don't get it. We don't understand why God is doing this or allowing this to happen or how God is ever going to get us through it. And it may be a test of our faith. And in those times, those trusting God will simply accept what seems illogical. I would loved to have seen the looks on Jesus' disciples' faces when he handed them 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and said, go feed these 5,000 people. I would have loved to have seen the looks on their faces. That's illogical. That doesn't make any sense. I wonder what was running through the mind of the blind man whom Jesus rubbed mud in his eyes and then told him, go to this certain pool, wash the mud out, and you'll see. That's illogical. That makes no sense. Or the woman who touched Jesus' robe and was healed of her bleeding. Was there doubt? Was there wonder? Was there faith? Maybe all three in a few of these cases. For they were all illogical things, but all required faith. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Well, by faith, Abraham accepted the illogical. Look at verses 17 and 18 again. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. This right here would have seemed completely illogical to Abraham, because God had promised him and his wife Sarah that their descendants would become a great nation. God had promised them that that nation would come through their only son, Isaac. And then God commands Abraham to sacrifice, to kill his one and only son. That does not make any sense. It's illogical. But Abraham accepted it. And in our passage, we learn why and how. Okay, and I'm going to come to this question. That is, if it didn't pop into your head then, it may have popped in now. And if it didn't now, it will when I bring it up. Okay? Bear with me. Why did Abraham accept what seemed illogical? Because Abraham obtained God's promise. He obtained a promise from God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God promised Abraham, I will make you a great nation. Then at the end of verse 18 here in Hebrews, he quotes from Genesis 21:22, where God reiterates this promise saying, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Abraham obtained a promise from God. Secondly, Abraham knew God's nature. He knew from past experience that God is faithful. He knew from past experience that God is merciful. He knew that God is wise. He knew that God would never do anything that is contrary to his own nature. So he knew that God would keep his promise concerning Isaac. He knew that God was trustworthy. How did Abraham accept what seemed illogical? Well, Abraham obeyed God's command. In fact, as we have done in the past, we're going to do this again. I want you to keep a marker here in Hebrews. But I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 22 and put a marker there, because we're going to go back and forth just a little bit this morning. But keep a marker in Hebrews and turn back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to see how Abraham obeyed God's command. And I want to read to you the first 10 verses of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, beginning with verse 1. First book of your Bible. Says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And we're going to stop right there. Cliffhanger. Okay? Cliffhanger right there. Abraham obeyed God's command. Now, there is a lot of questions that we could ponder about this passage. What was running through Abraham's mind? Was there doubt? Did Isaac put up a fight? Is that why he was bound? But here's what we do know. Here is what we do know. Abraham obtained a promise from God. Abraham knew God's nature. Abraham obeyed God's command, and then Abraham offered up Isaac. There is no question that Abraham was going to follow through with this. In fact, keep a marker in Genesis, and let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to point out two words in verse 17. And they're both the same word in the English language. Verse 17, the first word offered that you come to in verse 17 is actually a word in the original language that is in the past tense. So basically what it's saying is this sacrifice in Abraham's mind was as good as done. It was as good as done, all right? And I imagine the dagger in a downward swing, okay? It was as good as done. But the second word offered in verse 17 actually talks of something that was never completed, okay? Again, I imagine the dagger in a downward swing before Abraham was stopped. And yeah, there's the end of the cliffhanger. Yes, he was stopped, okay? God kept his promise. Isaac lived. That word offer, again, that appears a second time in 17, is in the tense of never having been completed. But the reason this account is listed is because Abraham's faith in God. He even accepted this that seemed illogical, completely illogical to him, and he passed this test. Now, we come to that question. Because some of you might be wondering, again, this popped into my mind as I was reading this. What makes this story here concerning Abraham and his son different from the woman who killed her children? She believed that God told her to do it. Okay? She believed that God had commanded this. She believed that her faith was being tested. And she even believed that she passed that test. Well, first of all, Abraham had a promise from God. Abraham had a promise from God. God did not make this, that woman, any kind of promise. She had no grounds for her action. In fact, I don't believe that God spoke to her at all. How do I know? Several reasons. Well, God speaks to us through his word today. That's how God speaks to us, through his word today. And on top of that, what God was telling her, what she believed God was telling her to do, was completely contrary to his nature. In fact, if anyone claims anything that is contrary to what God has said and God's nature, what he has already revealed here, that is not from God. If it's different from what God has revealed, it's not from him. With that, what she said God told her to do, well, I've already said that. It's contrary to both his nature and his word. And then lastly, most importantly, Isaac lived. Her children did not. Isaac lived. Abraham acted in faith. What she did was brutal and sinful. Truth be known, there is only one innocent person that God has ever commanded be sacrificed and then actually followed through with it. One. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. A sacrifice that was offered, by the way, willingly by Jesus himself. He gave himself a ransom for all, as 1 Timothy 2:6 says. Getting back to our topic here again, there will be times in our lives when God will ask, allow, or even require us to do something or go through something, and we will not see the logic in it. We will not understand why God is doing this or how he will ever bring us through it. And it may be a test of our faith. It may be there to cause our faith to grow. And so in those times, trust God. Trust God. Trust his promises to us. Trust his nature. And simply accept what seems illogical to us. And it will leave a faithful legacy. It has been said that our faith has not really been tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, to do what seems unreasonable, and to expect what seems impossible. Which brings us now to the second way that Abraham exemplified faith here. The second way to leave a faithful legacy is by expecting what seems impossible. Expecting what seems impossible. When it comes to trusting God, accept what seems illogical and expect what seems impossible. The disciples took those loaves and those fish, and they began distributing them among those 5,000 people. They fed them all and came back with 12 baskets of leftovers. The blind man went to that specific pool, and he washed the mud out of his eyes, and he could see. The woman who touched the robe of Jesus was made well by faith. They all expected the impossible. Well, did Abraham expect the impossible? Did he know that God would keep his promise no matter what? Absolutely. Verse 19 says, it says that he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Beginning here, I want to point out actually five conclusions. We're only going to get one from verse 19, but five conclusions that came about because Abraham expected the impossible. First of all, Abraham concluded that God is able. Abraham concluded that God is able. Able to do what? Well, to even raise Isaac from the dead. Had he followed through with that sacrifice? Is there any evidence that Abraham really believed this? Or are we just hearing this from the author now after the fact? Is there any evidence that really tells us that Abraham believed that Isaac was going to come through this regardless? Well, there is. And we have to go back to Genesis to see it. Genesis chapter 22. And I want to read to you again verses 3 through 5. Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. Before Abraham went to the place to sacrifice Isaac, he told his servants that were with him, "We're going up to worship, but we, he and I, Isaac and I, we are coming back to you." He knew that somehow, some way, even if I follow through with this sacrifice, okay, he is coming back. He will live because God promised and God is able. Deep down, I believe that Abraham suspected that God would provide a substitute because sacrificing Isaac would be contrary to God's nature. Is there any proof of that? Verses 7 and 8. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Abraham concluded that God is able. Abraham received his son. Still in Genesis, look at verses 10 through 13. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Hebrews chapter 19 likens that event to him receiving his son back from the dead, because as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was as good as dead. Had God not stopped Abraham, he would have followed through and even raised him from the dead. But he also knew that had he followed through, God was able to bring him back from the dead. Abraham concluded that God is able. Abraham received the son. And through all this, Abraham's faith was strengthened. Once again, God proved faithful. God proved merciful. God proved wise and trustworthy. And Abraham now trusted him all the more. James chapter 1 tells us that the testing of our faith produces patience. And patience, in turn, causes us to grow and mature spiritually. That is one of the purposes of trials in our life. It is God testing us to grow us. So Abraham concluded that God is able. He received his son. Abraham's faith was strengthened, and Isaac witnessed it all. Isaac witnessed it all. He had a front row seat like no other front row seat. Perhaps in this case he would have liked a different one. But Isaac heard his dad say to the servants, "We will return." He heard Abraham say, "God will provide." He no doubt saw the pain in his dad's eyes as he bound him. No doubt saw his dad's shaking hand as he raised the knife. And he witnessed not only God's faithfulness through a substitute, but his dad's faith in God. And it affected generations to come. There is no doubt that Isaac himself had to exhibit some faith here, right? No doubt his faith in God grew through this event. But it affected generations to come. In fact, from this point in Hebrews on, every person but one that's listed in this Heroes chapter is a descendant of Abraham. Now, we need to know that the testing and trials will come in our life. they will not be like this, but they can be pretty intense. Prepare for it. Prepare for it. But before we close this morning, I want to point out just a few distinctions for application's sake concerning these testing and trials. A bit of a tangent, okay? Just to see a few distinctions about the testing of our faith. First of all, tests of our faith are different from temptations. Tests of our faith are different from temptations. Temptation is when we are drawn away by our own desires. Okay, what it is we're being tempted, it's something that we want. In our fleshly nature, we want it. And James chapter 1 says that we are drawn by our own desires. It also tells us that temptation is never from God. However, testing and trials can be. But tests of our faith are different from temptation. Secondly, not all trials are tests from God. Many trials come in our life simply because sin is in the world. The world is a cursed place. Bad things happen because sin is here. So not every trial in life is because God wants to test us. But know this, that even though a trial may not be directly from God, those trials can still grow us as we trust in God. So tests of our faith are different from temptation. Not all trials are tests from God. And then tests of our faith are tailored to the individual. Tests of our faith are tailored to the individual. God knows us so well that the trials and testing that He puts us through are specific to us and our need for spiritual maturity. While all of God's children will experience testing and trial, our testing can be very different from one another. Noah was never asked to sacrifice his son. Abraham was never asked to build an ark. Tests are tailored to the individual and therefore always fair. They are always fair. We can never rightly say, God, this is not fair, because God will never send a test that we are not ready to handle with His help. Tests are tailored to the individual. Tests of our faith are compliments from God. Tests of our faith are compliments from God. They tell us, literally, they tell us that God wants us to grow. And not just spiritually mature, but He wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. It's a compliment from God. And then lastly, how we respond can leave a legacy. So pertaining to God, accept what seems illogical and expect what seems impossible. That way, we will not only grow in our faith, but we can leave a faithful legacy for those that follow us. That is why we are given this whole list here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We're given that list of examples so that we can walk in their footsteps. Now, there are several lessons that we could have looked at from our passage this morning. But I've chosen to talk about the legacy of faith that Abraham left because he is the only person in all of Hebrews 11 that has a son, a grandson, and a great-grandson in this list as well. He left a legacy. He left a legacy. And so that we might understand that as we go through trials, it's not only an opportunity for us to mature in our faith, but it is an opportunity for us to impact others, to impact those who are watching us. I had a professor in Bible school that he told me something. I think I may have shared this with you at another time. But he shared something with me that I had never thought about until that moment that he brought it up. I had been telling him a bit of my story about my coming to Christ and how God had been working in my life. And I told him, shared with him how God had called me into ministry and how he had brought me to Bible school. And I was sharing with him all of the trials that I had gone through in that chronology, okay? Everything that had taken place in my life. And I shared with him how God had perfectly provided through that entire situation. And he commended my steps of faith, but then he said, and this is what I hadn't thought of until that moment. He said, "What you have done and the steps of faith that you have taken will impact your children more than you will ever know." And I have to tell you, that was both a sobering thought and an exciting thought. He said, "They watched you through this. It's going to impact them. They watched you." And it was sobering because I know that at times I did not respond in the best way. I did not respond in faith. And my children saw that. That will impact them. But it was also exciting because ultimately I did trust God in the matter. And they saw that too. They saw that too. We are being watched. And not only will the accepting of what seems illogical and the expecting of what seems impossible grow our faith and mature us, but it will impact all of those around us that are watching us walk through this Christian life. And I pray that like Abraham, we would leave a wake of faithful legacy. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we are just so grateful to you for your patience toward us as we fail you day by day. But Lord, we know that you bring many of these things into our lives, even the things sometimes that we fail at, that you allow those things in our lives, even sometimes bring them into our lives on purpose to test our faith so that we will grow, so that we will, Lord, just see how weak and frail that we truly are in this life and reach out to you for help. Reach out to you for mercy. Reach out to you for wisdom. And Lord, as we've looked at Abraham this morning, and I don't want to imagine being tested the way he was tested. However, I thank you for his example. The fact that he understood you and your promises so well that he knew beyond a doubt that his son would live. And it created a legacy of faith. As we look at Isaac, who witnessed this firsthand, as we look at Jacob, as we look at Joseph, as we look at Moses, and the rest of the people in this list, Lord, truly a legacy of faith. And I pray, Lord God, that that would be us. That we would respond to you, accepting those things, Lord, that seem, at least to us, completely illogical, and expect the impossible so that those who are watching us would do that too. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.